will disagree with my contention that he whipped them into shape, but he did manage to accomplish a few things.
Well, Catherine wrote an excellent piece for me. She went to Germany, and I came downtown. So at least she was gracious enough to write the presentation. And they all listened to every word we said. After I gave the presentation, one of the board members did ask me a question about how we all were feeling about customer service. So I mentioned a couple things. One was the station manager report. So I mentioned that and said we were interested in it. We were interested in the recommendations. There's a department within WMATA called Quick.
So is
Kiko. Okay, that has the words quality in it at the beginning, and probably office at the end. And I'm not sure what's in between. And they apparently go around and they do reports on different at the request of the general manager do reports on different operations within WMATA. And there have been an article I saw in the Post about the station manager report that came out in August, and it was a good article, but also it's online on the WMATA's website. And we had requested that the author or somebody from that department come and make a presentation. I was hoping at this meeting, but at a meeting. And we were turned down for that.
The article did not paint the station managers in a wonderful light when it came to preparedness for anything.
I didn't say that we got turned down or anything like that. So I had a chance to kind of babble on about that a little bit about an issue that Colin is working on and other members of the Customer Service Committee on improved communications in the station, on the train, better recorded, whether this can be recorded announcements or announcements by the station manager or announcements from the main office that are both clear so people can understand them. Even if they're great, so people can understand them, but also to be honest and forthright with the riders, the customers. Is that fair? Is that a fair characterization? Yeah. So I sort of went into those things. Anything else? You want me to talk about the other two things? The other thing about how we're gonna get some results. Yeah. And I did have a conversation with Jennifer Ellison, who is the board secretary. And mentioned our concern about being turned down for our request to have the author of the station manager. And I also mentioned to her our concern about how the general manager told us, sitting right there, that he thought the idea of participating in the training for station managers was a great idea or a good idea. And then, of course, we got turned down. We were told that that couldn't happen. So I think that we may see some results from that conversation. I don't know. But, hey, what have I learned? Showing up is 75% of the battle, and getting to know the people who represent your jurisdiction is really a good idea. From when they come here and become someone's here from Virginia, the people
talk maybe a little bit about the restructuring of the committees?
The what?
The restructuring of the committees.
Oh. Well. Yeah, well, one of the things on the agenda was the restructuring of the board's committees. They went from 9 to 5. And I think it was an initiative. As I understand it, this is an initiative of Chairman Evans. And my impression, and I say this is only my impression, is that he was trying to respond to those people who want to shrink the board. And this was his effort to, I don't know, be responsive or show those people that the board was taking its responsibilities more seriously. Or I can't tell you what, I can't mind read. But I think that's what happened. So we have, you know, I think this afternoon I sent everybody a copy of the new board structure.
Oh.
Excuse me. Be right back.
Yes, Pat.
I'm in a meeting. I'll call you back later tonight, okay? We can talk about that. I will interrupt you. World Series. Sorry. Yeah. What do you do when someone calls a friend from 40 years ago?
Go for it, Pat.
Okay. Can I, Oni, are you, I didn't want to interrupt your report.
Oh, no. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure everyone.
Yeah, that's what's going on. And so all of you who may have been interested in learning, you're making friends with people or the committees that cover your issues have to go back and start all over again. I guess. No, but I mean, you know, it also, there are plenty of board members who don't serve in a committee who are interested in subject matters. And I've, based on my conversations with people I know on the board.
Okay. Yes, Pastor. Okay. Thanks. I was not at the board meeting. Phil Posner, the new chair for the AAC, was there, and he indicated that the public comment period went on for an hour. You had a lot of members of the transportation, the bus, and we've seen this over the last 2 or 3 months where they come in, and they must have at least 20, maybe 25 people talking about working conditions and that. So I know that there was that contingent there. There was also a contingent from another group called DC Transit. Heidi Case, we're familiar with that group. They have DC Transit is a paratransit system in DC, which is run by the District of Columbia, not run by WMATA, which is going through some difficult times because they've got a limited budget and they've really overextended the system, so they've had to take drastic cuts. And so they were sort of in the meeting protesting giving slogans and that sort of thing for the time while they were on. And it was pretty, from what I understand, pretty raucous. So I think Phil basically gave a fairly standard report was what was interrupted by the DC Transit group several times because he got to speak for 3 minutes and each one of them only got to speak for 2 minutes and they were yelling as to why he got 3 minutes versus the other people 2 minutes. One of the constructive things, however, that Phil said and also that was repeated and also by the RAC is the work that is the recommendations going forward on the 7,000 railcar series. And so what I was really pleased to see is that both RAC and AAC had very similar suggestions on recommendations for the 7,000 railcar series. It's good that we both come to the table with the same things. But pretty wild public comment period for about an hour, I guess, in the beginning. So kind of fun. I missed it.
So okay. I would only add, there are a number of people from, I guess I would call the Axis community there who also spoke. There were 3 or 4 people. Phil spoke, and he was very good. But there are another 3 or 4 people who had various disabilities who spoke. And I don't know, it was unclear to me whether they represented, who they represented other than themselves.
That was the DC Transit group, I believe. Yeah. And they were talking about the system in Washington, D.C., okay, where you have a sort of separate paratransit system that runs for $5 a ride. The system has been, because they don't have the funding, has been cut back several times, and this group likes to come to the board meetings, also even shows up to the AAC meetings and complains about this to WMATA, but this is actually a system that's run by the district themselves and really has nothing to do with WMATA or the board of directors, but it's a good place. And what was interesting, of course, is that there's press there, there's TV there, so they did get interviewed afterward, the fact, and they were looking for publicity to try to move their cause forward. So pretty raucous group,
yeah.
But
well,
interesting.
Well, certainly the union members who were there, who were let their views be known, I don't know if it's part of their strategy since labor negotiations are going on or not, if that was part of it or it was something separate, but they were not, to put it mildly, they're not very happy with the management at WMATA, and they were not at all shy from strongly expressing that. The president, and the president of the union was also one of the speakers. Was there a woman?
Jackie Jeter.
Yeah, Jackie. She was.
At previous meetings, WMATA unions have brought a coffin to the meeting to indicate their sense of displeasure with what they consider to be the death of good jobs and the death of reliable service. They know how to put on a show, I will admit. Well, it was the size. It was clearly not intended for actual humans. It was they had made it out of plywood, but it was child-sized. It was made for a lively morning. One other union bit of information that some of you may have seen in the newspapers, there have been some concerns about the last election that the union held for their leadership. There were concerns the Department of Labor has gotten involved because apparently they didn't follow every rule to the T when they did these elections in terms of who was eligible to vote and that sort of thing. So there is now a new date for new elections that will be early December. I can't remember the exact date, but sometime in early December, the presidents and several other positions will be voted on again. I imagine that the results will be very much the same for this new election under Department of Labor purview as they were before, but there is another union election coming up because of concerns about the last election. Any other WMATA-related updates? Okay. Well, then today is a day that we are actually going to get to focus on committees, because I know that they often get short shrift when we have folks come to talk to us and we have a lot of questions and discussion with those folks. So, with no further ado, I am going to turn it over to committees, and I will start with Sawyer.
Exciting. Yeah. I know. And actually, I don't have too much. I know it's my shining moment, and I don't have anything to say. No, I did just want to remind those who did sign up that this Sunday is the quarterly safety exercise at the Van Dorn station. I did hear back from a couple RAF members about not being able to attend because the exercise actually starts before the metro opens. Rest assured, I have talked at length with exercise coordinators about this, even trying to see if there were carpools or if there were CERT team members that might be coming from the different jurisdictions to see that we could, like, link up with, and the efforts have been futile. So I am sorry if you cannot attend because you cannot ride any of the WMATA transit options. So I'll be there. I know, Sita, you were signed up. It's okay.
I don't
it's okay.
How are you getting there?
I'm having a friend drive me.
Okay.
So we can. If you can make your way out to Virginia, I might be able to.
Maybe. Yeah. Is anyone else planning on going, or do you know how you're planning on getting there?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, when I went last time,
But still, I don't even think on the weekend. So, well, anyway, we'll talk and we'll figure it out.
What? Yeah.
And one thing to remember about Sunday morning is that times change.
Yes.
We'll get an extra hour of sleep, though. It's better.
So, yes, it is better for this, but just keep that in mind if you are thinking about doing things at the crack of dawn on Sunday.
Yeah. So, either way, I plan to be there unless something happens. So we'll see how it goes. I wasn't involved in the leading up meetings as much as I was on the previous one, and I don't know if that was intentional or unintentional, but I pretty much have all the information all of you have is what I sent out. That's my first update. The second one is about what went down at the last safety and security meeting. I unfortunately was unable to attend, but my wonderful committee members were brainstorming and drafting answers to the questions that the board members had asked us during our joint meeting, in particular board member Lobby. And those are just related to how would we collectively answer, is Metro getting safer, what measures should we be using to show improvement of that, and if there's still a perception that the system is unsafe. And so just kind of brainstorming, we've been asked these questions, and so we're trying to figure out how to answer them, because it's an opportunity to kind of put that forward, to kind of take the pulse of the riders vis-a-vis us. So they made some good headway last month, and we'll finalize it this month.
Could you remind me what date that meeting was?
Yeah, it was September 20th. So don't worry, we're way ahead of the answers that were provided to us. So as long as we get them answers within the next, 6 months, we're fine. And then the goal would then be 6 months from then, so that would be about March, to have another joint meeting. So this is kind of like the, you asked us this, we're providing it to you. So we'll hash that out at the next one. I did have a note to ask about the station manager report, but it seems that that's already been covered. So we might briefly talk about it this month to see if there's any other things there. I did also want to put on the table that I'm considering, if it's possible, to have a visit to the Rail Operations Center. As I'm looking at Joy, you don't know about it yet because it just came up. So that emergency button article that came out was kind of fascinating. You had board members saying this is a problem. You had a general manager saying it's actually not that big of a problem. You have people pushing buttons. You have people ignoring alerts. There's a lot going on there. This isn't the first time the Rail Operations Center has been kind of put up as something that might be underperforming. And so I don't know if we'll be granted a visit or at what level that visit would be. But it's an interesting hub. They also take part in the exercises, but it's very selective who exactly, knowledgeable people will be in the exercises. And so it's kind of interesting. It would just be, I think, a good visit for the RAC. So that's also, once I get my ducks in a row, all these different incidents that I've been collecting and hearing from people, to kind of make that case for, request to visit. I think it's worth revisiting. I don't know if it's better or worse if we cite specific reasons why we want to visit the RAC. I'll put some thoughts together and probably run it by the leadership during the next meeting then. So I think that's it. I don't know, Rebecca, did I miss anything from last meeting? Oh, yeah, that's it. You weren't there either. I swear it happened. No, you were there. Pizza, or is there anything else?
I don't remember anything. No,
okay. It happened. Okay. Great. So that's all from my side, I think. So, thanks.
Then I will go to CISA. Just working our way around the table.
So some updates from the Budget and Finance Committee. So first of all, we're making good progress on the survey to gauge rider preferences about retail. It seems like WMATA sort of has a growing interest in this, and in turning this from what originally was kind of an informal survey and something that we sort of wanted to just put out through Facebook to something that they actually really want to partner with us on and turn it into something really official. So I just got this document from Joy. I haven't had the chance to review it, but essentially it's from WMATA's Office of Customer Research, and what they have is listed a series of questions that they are interested in figuring out the answers to, questions about, you know, what types of retail vendors riders would want WMATA to solicit, should Metro accommodate Amazon delivery services at rail stations, also questions about rider behavior, so how often do riders stop and make purchases, how much will they be spending, what types of goods and services do they want, Amazon lockers, sorry. This is really exciting, and as I mentioned last time, the plan is to get this out probably within the next few weeks, hopefully, depending on sort of how fast we can turn this around. Originally, this was just going to be, you know, through Facebook or some sort of like Google form, but I think now they want to put it on Amplify and then do a little bit more specific targeting of riders based on, you know, what stations they're located at. So if, you know, we're interested in turning, the example that they give here is, if for example we're interested in targeting a certain station for, you know, a potential retail venue, then, you know, we could sort of go to the riders who we know currently use that station and sort of, you know, send the survey to them and say, you know, would you be interested, or could you send us some information about your preferences and, you know, how you think what types of retail you would prefer here. That's really exciting, and sort of a big thanks to Paul as well for helping to spearhead this. In addition, I think, oh yeah.
Can I ask you a question about that?
Yeah, sure.
So one of the stations I use a lot is Grosvenor.
Okay.
And at Grosvenor, there are a bunch of cut-up, probably series 1,000 or 3,000 cars that are used as to sell things. You know, bread, you know, flowers, cosmetics, all kinds of things. But I saw it a couple times, late spring, early summer, people were there. And then I saw someone there about a week or two ago. But I don't know. I have no idea what the protocol is or when they're. For instance, there's no schedule.
Right.
So frankly, most of the time, it looks like a rail car, a junkyard. You know, these things are cut on, you know, quarters or things like that. I'm just wondering if they've talked about that experiment.
No, they haven't, but we'll look into it. Yeah, that's a great question.
Yeah. I'd like them to see it. I might be interested just to know when they're open. I mean, you know, you're not going to have a very successful retail outlet if you don't post.
Yeah.
Opening and closing.
No, that's absolutely right. And right now, it's not just a Grosvenor. It seems like, for example, I know at Wheelie Reston Station, they also have a lot of these sort of pop-up stands. But it seems, at least based on my personal experience, it seems like a lot of the retail out there is sort of more informal. There aren't really sort of institutionalized locations where retail on WMATA property sort of happens. And so I think the goal is for this to become a little bit more of an institutional thing. Yeah, sure. What this is, what's happening? Yeah. Yeah, sure. I'll forward Nina Albert's email to you.
Yeah. Bob, I don't know if that, from what I had remember reading about that, I thought it was just on a trial basis. So I don't know if the trial has concluded, if they had decided they were going to, you know, continue on with it or anything, because I've never been up there to see it. I've been saying I was going to go see it. But Joy might know. I was waiting for her to come back. Joy, do you know anything about what's going on with the pop-up rail cars at the Grosvenor Strathmore station? Because I know they were doing it. I think it was a trial basis, but do you know if the trial concluded and they're that's what we're trying to find out. Did the trial conclude? Because Bob's saying that there's no activity there right now. Okay, yeah, and Cecil was looking into adding that as far as some of the stats for his research. So.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, apparently it was a 7-week trial pilot, effectively, over the summer with all these rail car bits, which was so successful that they redid it in the month of October.
Oh.
So it was every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Okay.
Google is an amazing thing. So it lasted through the end of October, and chances are it may happen again, but as of now, it was only lasting through the end of October. So they had bakeries, foods, yoga in a bowl, whatever exactly that would be, juices, Y-O-G-A in a bowl. I don't know if you're doing yoga in a bowl. I don't know what
that means.
Maybe somebody should have gone to that and found out. So there were probably 8 or 10 different little shops set up in the rail cars.
Interesting. Okay.
Well, just recommend if they're going to do it, just recommend they, you know, they post when they're going to be there.
Okay, that's a great recommendation.
Huh?
That's a great recommendation. We'll pass that on.
Mm-hmm.
So, are you referring to like some sort of post mortem? How like the results of it? Is that what you're talking about? Going to Nina about?
Sort of asking her how successful this was and
what
implications it might have for
uh-huh.
you know, whatever retail opportunities we develop in the future.
I imagine, like, I don't know if you've done the Wheelie Reston. I don't know if you've been out there, but it's a little less looking like a junkyard, to quote Bob. it's a little bit more formal. Like it's built out a little bit better, I think. It doesn't look like a sculpture garden, I guess. It looks more like it's not like a shopping mall or anything like that, but it's more like you have little pods almost that you can kind of walk past. Hmm? No, it's not. It's not. No, it's not. It's pretty different than that.
Steve, I have a quick question.
Are
the retail spaces going to be for, like, I don't know how to put this, like non mom and pop
like
vendors,
like
trains,
chains.
Yeah. Because if I don't know if it's up for discussion, but I think it'd be really great. Like I know, like the food truck vendors do like a lottery, like where they're at. Like
right.
you know, if there's something where like small businesses can sign up to be a part of it for like a certain amount of time
right.
at certain stations, like that might be really neat to explore. It'd be unfortunate if the first go at this and all of the retail space gets bought up by like larger businesses.
Yeah. I love that idea. That's great.
Yeah.
Obviously, I mean, a big question that WMATA is grappling with in the first place is whether or not to allow sort of food. Right. And so we're still kind of they're still kind of figuring that out. But you're right. There are a lot of mom and pop stores that might that don't sell food that might want to have a presence at WMATA. So I think that's a great suggestion, and we'll bring it up. What's really interesting is that they actually cite a survey they did in 2016, and it seems like the question of retail was surprisingly divisive. It said only 55% of community members surveyed on Amplify believed that Metro should offer retail on Metro property, period, and 45% were opposed. So I'd be interested in seeing if we surveyed now, you know, how that changed. Did the pilots, you know, shift that balance in any way? survey is also trying to get down to the bottom of. They don't. I think we're still trying to figure out, you know, whether riders would like, you know, those touchscreens, or whether they prefer the brick and mortar shops. And obviously, not every station can accommodate, you know, a huge shop right in the middle when we're already pressed for space. So you have to kind of think of it on a station by station basis. I think that's definitely a question we're going to want to focus on in the survey. It could, I mean, from what we've heard from Nina, it could be those screens, it could be vending machines, it could be stalls like they have at Wheelie Rustin, and then it could be, you know, in larger stations where you have the space, it could be some sort of brick and mortar shop. So sort of the whole range is possible. Great point. Rebecca, do you have a question? That's a fantastic point, yeah. It was, yeah. The draft survey, yeah, farmers, absolutely. So anyway, I guess wrapping up, at least on this topic, we will definitely keep you apprised of kind of what happens and send you, you know, the draft survey before it ever gets published, so that we all have a chance to comment on it, you know, suggest further questions. But I guess the takeaway is that WMOD is really excited about this. They really want to partner with us and turn this into something really big and formal. So that is exciting. Another couple quick updates. So Catherine mentioned this, but on next Thursday, we have an opportunity to meet with Ray LaHood, who is the former U.S. Transportation Secretary. Right, it's next Thursday at around 5 or 5:30. I think we'll have an opportunity to ask him questions about, you know, what he thinks of Metro's kind of fiscal sustainability, dedicated funding, safety, you know, recommendations. recommendations and so on. I think he has a lot of expertise in that field. So if you all are interested, I think email Catherine. And I'll definitely be going. It's a great opportunity and something that the budget committee has wanted to do for a while.
Where's that meeting going to be held?
Was in the email somewhere downtown.
The Hood's offices.
It's okay. So
I can pull it up.
It's
the one
when
concern
is, it the
is that I would
ninth?
Prefer that not the entire rec attend.
Sure.
It's the 9th, though?
It is Thursday the 9th, yes.
At 5:30?
I think it will be starting at 5.
5, and, okay, the reason I'm asking is I heard that also AAC was invited.
Yes, this is sort of a group of groups
right,
that are meeting
that's
here.
What
so
I
there
heard.
Are a number of different stakeholder groups that have all.
Okay.
I'm a little fuzzy on this topic, given that I was not involved in organizing it, so I'm not totally clear on what to expect of it. But the intention is that each group would have a couple of people from their membership attending this and providing feedback to LaHood on Metro and on transportation in general. If there's a more specific thing that we're supposed to be talking about, I'm not really sure. But I'm sure the AAC is one of the groups that has also been contacted. I know that the groups from the local MPO have also been contacted, and I can't even begin to imagine who all of them are. I think there's the Action Council, Community for Transit.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm getting that
and
acronym.
COG has been consulted, and
yes.
They've been through the
so
business community.
There are a number
community.
Of groups that are all sending a couple of people, apparently,
yeah.
To this meeting,
okay.
Which is next Thursday, November 9th, at 5 o'clock at the offices of the firm that LaHood is now working for, mm-hmm. Which is DHL Piper on 8th Street.
It's on what street?
8th
Street. Okay, great.
Yeah it's
that's
not
fine.
Far from here.
I'll get over there. Okay, so I'll be not invading from the RAC perspective, but I'll be there for AAC. That's good.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, it would sure make the RAC look good, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But it might also irk perhaps some of the other groups who are not showing up in force. I guess if you are interested in coming next Thursday, if you are free immediately after work, given that it will start on the early side at 5 o'clock, let me know. Just send me an email or contact me in person at the end of this meeting or send a carrier pigeon or whatever your preferred means of communication is, and we'll go from there.
Yeah. And if you can't make it, feel free to send us questions that you want answered.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then finally, last quick update. So it's already November, and WMATA is in the process of drafting its budget for next year. So from what I've read and sort of as per tradition, it doesn't look like the issue of fare increases will really be on the table. But there are sort of several other things that they're talking about. So if you have concerns or priorities that you want addressed, feel free to come to our next budget meeting or just come talk to us. And we can maybe write another kind of memo to the board expressing our RAC's viewpoints. It is on Thursday, November 16th. Yeah. Generally, at least in the past, it's been every 2 years. Yeah.
Can I just ask?
Sure.
I don't hear it talked about very much. One is the fact that presumably at some point there's going to be a settlement, arbitrary settlement between the unions and WMATA, whether that's being built into this budget. And also at some point, I'm not quite sure when, the Silver Line extension is going to open up. And you've got to believe it.
To my understanding, neither of those is built into the FY19 budget that has been proposed, in large part because Wiedefeld wanted to make sure to keep it at as low a level of increase as possible. He had made a stated goal that the operating costs would not increase beyond the cost of inflation, so about 3% per year. So in an attempt to actually keep next year's operating budget at that, he did have to leave a few things out, with the hope that by the time some of these costs are coming into play, particularly the Silver Line, there will be some sort of a funding resolution. That might be a pipe dream, but that was his solution for following through on what he had promised. Continuing to circle around, Colin.
Hello, everyone. So the customer service committee, as I have previously mentioned, has been working for quite some time now on developing recommendations for in-service communications, primarily, in the rail system and during transit on the rail system. So basic sort of communications at endpoint stations, regular announcements, but also more ad hoc announcements during delays, emergencies, any problems that may arise and often do arise. I think our committee has agreed that the level of communication and the quality of communication on a day-to-day basis is well below par, both in terms of transparency, but also sort of adhering to any semblance of standards. I think we are in a near final form on that document. Thanks to Joy for providing us with some background information, including kind of the standards that are communicated to operators as to what their responsibilities are and expectations, which is pretty interesting because I think Bob and I talked about this a little bit. There seems to be a lot of inconsistency in the policies that are on the books themselves. So, for example, there's a lot of emphasis on providing up-to-date information throughout the system. Is critical to good rider relations, customer service, etc. But then during emergencies, it explicitly states your announcement should never give an indication of any major malfunction or emergency. So I think we saw. So effectively, the policies on the books, not only give conflicting information to employees, but also, effectively encourage them to mislead riders, which I think is problematic. We're at a point in WMATA's existence where I think confidence in the system and its employees is unfortunately at an all-time low, and riders already feel like they're being misled on a regular basis. So having policies on the books that reinforce that culture, I think, is especially problematic. So we have included some references to this in our document to really emphasize transparency. The other thing is it kind of lists the sort of canned responses that we're often, that we're accustomed to. I think, we, again, in our document emphasize the need for more specific, more timely, and more accurate announcements that go beyond kind of the "we'll be moving momentarily." And in fact, one of the other things that's in here is to never give an estimation of when a problem will be resolved, which on the one hand is understandable because they don't always have that information. On the other hand, for some things, you can provide a pretty good estimation given the recurring nature of some of these issues, and B, ideally, the ROC ought to be able to provide, information to operators in a fairly timely manner. Whether that's actually happening is another story. I think just last month there was an incident where a track problem was detected near Roslyn before the system opened, resulting in the need for single tracking. Unfortunately, that delay was not communicated to customers until nearly 9 a.m. And so riders entered the system without any understanding that there was going to be, that there was a problem that would result in significant delays for them. They paid for service that they didn't get. They were stuck in the system. When WMATA was asked about this, they basically said, well, you know, we said we provided them with information after delays had reached, you know, like 15 minutes. So they're, you know, basically they're saying we were following standard operating procedures. Meanwhile, there was a four-hour gap between the identification of a problem that they knew would cause major delays and actually communicating that to riders. So I think this is you know, also an example of the need for more timely, accurate, and transparent protocols around in-service communication. So that's what we're aiming for. Questions?
Yeah, I had a quick comment about the emergency announcements or lack thereof. I'd be interested to know when the policies were written and how often they're revised and how they're revised if
yeah.
crisis communicators are consulted. And I mostly say this because there's been a lot of we talk about this obviously a lot in my profession, and we're kind of coming to terms with, you know, announcing such things actually doesn't cause panic
right.
as much as you think it would. It's actually better to give informed information. So people are rational beings, and they usually continue to be rational beings in disasters,
mm-hmm.
As long as there's some situations where you wouldn't. But for the most part, like when we're talking about evacuations, people are always like, oh, you know, if you go out there and scare the public, it's going to be nuts. But really, it's not as bad as a lot of people often think. I mean, there is research to back that up as well. So from that point of view, it's kind of conflicting with professional guidance when it comes to emergency communications.
Yeah.
So I'd be interested to know if they consult others. Obviously, you want to make sure that what's being told is clear, and still to this day, announcements being made on trains are so crackly.
Right.
If you hear every other word of an emergency, like, that's also not good. So I go back and forth about this, and it's kind of, you know, but just to say that they're, at least in the profession, it's coming around about emergency communications and public communications when it comes to emergencies and rational acting.
Yeah, if you have any of that research handy, I'd love to be able to cite it in the document. But this particular piece that I'm referencing is, looks like it was revised or created September 2016, so it's pretty recent.
Yeah, I was also interested because you pretty much basically summed up what I was going to say, except more about comparisons with other metro systems, transit systems. I know New York, they have tons more people, like 8 million, 9 million people. So on a per capita basis, the accidents may not be as much, or I'm not sure if it is or isn't, but how people fall into the tracks and people get run over. And I remember reading in the New York Times or WAPO or some outlet that the driver literally like shared the actual details and
yeah.
everyone was quiet. It was just interesting, that piece.
So I'm just wondering, what?
Oh, you did?
We
okay.
We basically said that, you know, we used New York as an example of a transit system that has undergone a shift in policy towards
exactly.
transparency, and
yeah.
riders are responding positively to it.
Awesome.
And that transit system might also be based on this type of studies, because a lot came out, you know, after 9/11 and even
yeah.
after Sandy. So the New York Emergency Management Office is, like, leading in the field, so they probably contributed to part of that.
Yeah. So it's my understanding that a lot of the information, I mean, it does sort of go out at the same time. So, you know, if you're signed up for, like, Metro Alerts, likely those alerts are going out at the same time that, like, you know, Twitter announcements are going out. And I don't know how that corresponds to, like, Metro's API that, like, developers are using. But I think the bottom line is that in a lot of cases that information regardless of by what mechanism you're getting it, is not going out as soon as it should be.
Though, is that when you sign up for those alerts, it allows you to select, you know, like which lines and which buses that you want, so that way you're not bombarded by everything that's happening in the system, because you would probably go mad. but yeah, so I have, you know, select buses and trains that I know that I ride regularly that would be more concern to me than you know, the entire system. So but I get alerts going off first thing in the morning. I mean, I've had alerts coming across like 5:30 in the morning. It's like I'm asleep, and all of a sudden my phone is like beeping at me. I'm like, what the heck? I don't know. Again, like Colin said, how it's being distributed, but I know that it seems to be moving pretty fast. So somewhere in there, there's a solid connection.
And there are some sort of savvy rider advocates out there who are, you know, utilizing like scanners to listen in on metro radio traffic and are sort of like giving like real time, you know, analysis and updates via platforms like Twitter. But, you know, that's not really a system. It's not, you know, it's not official information. It's third party information. And I think, you know, it's not something that we can count on as writers, and we should be able to count on the agency itself. I would certainly be willing to add a paragraph to sort of recommend, you know, that the information that's being communicated is aligned across platforms, including, you know, on-train announcements. Yeah.
They emailed me that it's a deer, and this guy's saying something else. Like, it's like, come on.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, I've also seen the flip side of that, which is, you know, you're on a train and you have a great operator who is communicating frequently and consistently, and, you know, is telling you, oh, we've got a report of an arcing insulator on the line down the way, you know, this is causing some delays. And then you look at, you know, what WMATA's official announcements, and, you know, it just says there's a track problem. It's like, okay, someone has, you know, accurate information, and you know, it should be, you know, I think shared consistently.
So those recommendations you'll have in the next handful of weeks?
Yep.
Okay. And the intention is to submit them to how do you plan to send them up the chain?
So, I mean, we had hoped to sort of discuss them with what was the customer service committee on the board. I think I think at this point, you know, I feel confident enough in the state of the document that, you know, we can, you know, I think, share it in advance of our next RAC meeting and you know, have it as a discussion item, you know, if it needs to be, you know, if the body feels like it needs to be tweaked in any way in order to, you know, get it into a state where it can be an official RAC recommendation. I would love to be able to do that.
Okay. As chair, I will say that I will delegate final responsibility of this one to you. You get final sign-off on it.
Okay.
A logical, sensible human being, too, so that helps. And also chair of this committee. Well, you put on a good face around us, so. We'll let you make the final call on when it's ready and get input as you see fit, but
yeah,
don't
say,
necessarily
I've
wait
I've
for everybody.
Gotten helpful input from a lot of the folks around the table already, so thank you for those of you who have, you know, provided that feedback.
But if it, too, is stronger, on a kind of larger point to like empowering the committees to make these kind of recommendations, also showing that the entire RAC also reviewed it. So
yeah.
While it's, I'm trying to think, like, are we better like decentralized for like specific recommendations, because those are like expertise areas, and to say that this was, you know, developed over a lengthy amount of time in committee, reviewed by the entire RAC, and is now being submitted by the committee. And even, you know, certain sections you can say like reviewed by the Safety and Security Committee or something like that. And I'm trying to think of ways we can make it stronger and show the amount of effort and coordination that has really gone into this piece, because it's a really great piece of work. So, and I don't think it's necessarily in conflict with what was just agreed to, but just kind of how we show those different pieces is interesting. So.
The other thing is that whenever Sawyer, whenever we submitted that document that Sawyer started drafting for the board members that we invited to our committee meeting, it seemed like they were really excited about the work that we had put into that document, and it really kind of lent to the relationship that we're trying to develop. And maybe if you submitted it to a committee from the committee, it might, like whatever new committee customer service falls under, it might be a nice way to, you know, make headway with those folks.
Yeah, that was our thinking in initially, you know, trying to initiate contact with the customer service committee from the board. Right. So it goes.
I think the new relevant committee is called Safety and Service Delivery, the chair of which is Bob Lauby, who works for FRA, the Federal Railroad Administration, and he is very much a safety guru. So he's probably interested in customer service as a rider, but that is not necessarily his professional focus.
Right.
The vice chair of that committee is probably not the strongest member of the WMATA board, so feel free to focus more on the chair, even accounting for the fact that the chair is more of a safety person than the customer service person. He's also a fairly recent appointee, if I remember correctly. He's not among the newest, the ones that are 2 months old, but he's within the last year or so, I think, Bob was appointed to the board. So he's still, he's not yet totally jaded. Anything else on customer service? Okay. Well then, Joseph, you want to give us the update?
I wrote an email with all of this ready, but so you guys can read that, but I'll be reading it to you guys right now. So basically, our small but mighty group of three members in our committee, we're on track to launch RAC Twitter by the end of this year. The trigger when we first voted for it about a year ago, I think, was to reach 150 likes or follows, and if that happens, then we would have some legitimacy to launch Twitter. And so now that we're on track to do that, and it will happen before the end of this year, we already reserved a handle and everything, so everything's ready to go. It's not live yet. So batch sample tweets are forthcoming, so you guys could see the types of tweets that we'll put out, and you guys, if you wanted to tweet, can tweet in a consistent voice and message. The second one is engagement with developers on recent changes to the WMATA developer license agreement. So in my email, I stated what they shared with us via Facebook. And so I think us trying to go on multiple platforms, one of the main reasons is so that we can get more engagement with our constituents and riders, so that we're not just thinking of ideas. Like, we're all very smart and capable and devoted, committed people here, but to the extent that we could tap into and co-create with riders and have them do a lot of the advocacy, and we just kind of funnel and channel them to their respective places of power, that's like my hope personally. So this engagement with the developers and recent changes, I personally know some of the developers, and specifically the ones that have shared via Facebook. We just talk every once in a while. I first met them at the Metro Data Day. That was back in October. And Yeah, like he actually shared with me personally through LinkedIn, and I was like, oh, yeah, there are other places that you can think about sharing as well, like if you wanted to or whatever. And so on Facebook, they basically shared, and also on Twitter, they tweeted this a long time ago, like maybe a week or so. But 5 days after they tweeted, they sent us this. Basically, there are a lot of, I guess, typical restrictions, but some that aren't as typical in the changes to the developer license, including how, I guess, WMATA reserves the right to charge a fee to use this data anytime. So this data has always been free, so it's concerning to see why WMATA now claims that it can start charging for it. And I'm sure there are reasons, but, you know, if we can know what those reasons are, that would be helpful so that we could kind of understand what the basis for this change is. And then there are a lot of other ones that I guess they were concerned about that it's not standard practice to share all the information that it gets from users who use their app, and sharing all that information. They listed all in the email that I sent you guys, but I also wanted your feedback and input. We talked about it in the PPP committee on how we could best, you know, send this up the chain, I guess, but do you guys have any suggestions on how we could best engage with these developers? And not just that part, but more so about how we could make it clear to WMATA that there are people that are concerned about these changes and what engagement or consultation has taken place before these changes have occurred, things like that. Do you guys have any suggestions? Yeah. Sawyer.
I don't necessarily have a suggestion,
yeah.
More like a comment, and other people might have caught it. When Lynn Bowersox was here last month, the DC Hero app got brought up, and she spoke very highly of it, very briefly, and then all of a sudden this came out. It's interesting to me that these I wonder if the push behind it is maybe in planning long term, and I'm kind of treading kind of lightly here. Yeah. In the long term, WMATA has a plan to have a very similar app,
exactly.
Knowing that what they're providing customers is underperforming, and so customers are going elsewhere to get the information. So it's something that they're definitely aware of it. This is very deliberate, and I'm assuming it's because of this exact thing. Like they're being outperformed when it comes to rider notification, accurate, timely information, and very specific. So it was just kind of the timing of it was really interesting. When I read it, I was like, oh my gosh, like we literally just had that brief moment during the last meeting about it. So I'm sure it would be nice to hear why. And if that is in the plans, you know, what does that look like?
And I know when I first joined the RAC, Paul Wiedefeld, luckily for me, he was, I think we both joined at the same time, right? And our very first meeting, Paul Wiedefeld was here, which was great. He sat right next to me. I was like, yes, good luck. I asked him. I chased him out into the hallway, and I said, is there an app? Like, are you guys making an app? Because we need better communication and feedback and everything. And he was like, yes, we are making an app. And I was like, when? Like, we don't have, you know, I don't know the real timeline. But, you know, I think it's no secret that they're, like, trying to create something eventually, or there are plans to, supposedly. But to the extent that they could communicate that to us in general, and in general for everything, if they could just share more and incorporate and get riders to pitch in and have meaningful consultation, like, that's what I think we should be pushing for.
Yeah.
But,
and I will say, too, on that, having developed an app, not coding it, but design of it.
That's cool.
Coming from the type of organization I come from and the type of organization that WMATA is, it takes them extremely a lot longer to develop such apps than a nimble group of developers and coders that know what they're doing and how to pull in different API streams very easily, right? Because all this is coming from these different API streams.
Yeah.
So it's just, they probably are doing this, and maybe they're getting to the point where it's needing to be user tested. And so they want to kind of put these regulations in place so when they do launch the app, you know, it's complete speculation, but that was immediately what I read.
Join? Me? Oh, yeah. So I'm just basically reading off Well, actually, there were changes made to the WMATA developer license agreement that was made, and then some developers kind of let us know that on Facebook. They tweeted it, you know, Metro Hero in particular, but other developers in general that came to Metro's Hack Day. Recently, they shared with me, like, just their concerns as well. And so, and a lot of you already knew, I think Colin knew, and then Paul knew, like, everyone I think here knew. And they also tweeted about it 5 days before they shared with us. And then they're like, oh, we could share it with them too. And we'll share it with them. And so that's pretty cool that they're sharing it with us. But yeah, I think just why is Metro changing it all of a sudden? And I mean, it could be fine. I mean, it some of it actually is okay, I guess. But we just want to know why, you know? And I think these developers should kind of have some notice and be consulted, like, about some of these, or not. I mean, but WMATA could do whatever it wants, honestly. Like, I mean, all of the developers are falling in line, you know? But when this creative community is coming together and they're actually building these apps that thousands of people, like, trust and rely on have downloaded, and to all of a sudden, some of the businesses are based on these, and to all of a sudden just pull the rug or, like, change it without adequate notice or letting people know these are new terms. I don't know how much notice they've provided, if any, but it seemed like the developers were really frustrated, and I think this is the type of community where you want to court, and they're builders, and they're going to, you kind of want them on your side, because they're going to start building things, and you don't want them building this. Anyways, so.
So this is apparently generating a little bit of conversation, sure, so yeah. Next is Clarence.
Yeah, I invited them. Yeah, for sure. Yes. Click your rate, bounce rate, and all of that.
Exactly.
Google Analytics, yeah. Yeah. And like for Twitter in particular, the vision there, even though we're really small right now, where we could have some of the perennial tweets would be like our meetings, like the different committees, so highlighting each of those. And I shared this for a long time, but not consistently, if the committee chairs could actually be, or like any designee, kind of be responsible for populating when their committees are meeting. So I haven't even done that because no one else is doing it. And also, like, it's just, you know, no one really comes to the committee meetings, but to the extent that we can also publicize that along with our monthly RAC meetings, I think that could be, I don't know, something, a start. Oh, yeah. Exactly. When's the next time he's coming? Oh, it's still coming soon, right? Yeah. 2 months ago, right? Or September? like all the Christmas time, no. Hanukkah, concert. I know, right? Inclusive. Okay. Yeah, he's really good about that too. We appreciate him. Okay.
He may want to come in January if we have new appointees at that point. As a welcome to the RAC, we care, here I am.
Oh, we do? Oh my goodness. That's exciting.
Tita.
I think we should emphasize to Amada the importance of all of these apps and these developers in, you know, providing people with good and timely information. And at least in my opinion, Amada shouldn't see it as some sort of competition, right? You know, it's trying to like.
They should or shouldn't.
Us versus them, right?
Oh, they shouldn't.
Our app or their app. You know, it's if WMATA's app is being outperformed by other apps, that means it's a good thing in the sense that other apps are doing sort of a better job at providing timely data. And, you know, it shouldn't be seen as a threat to WMATA. So I think just trying to reiterate that point to them and, you know, making sure that we don't lose the valuable resources that we have, you know, in case WMATA decides to, you know, pursue these restrictions, you know, on, on sharing data. I don't know, it strikes me as kind of really dangerous and depressing, you know?
So yeah, it's about like really building that ecosystem of,
Yes. And like not everyone likes. Is to run transit. That is what they exist for. They are not a tech company. They should not pretend that they are a tech company.
It is kind of problematic that that's what she said to our faces, because as you probably know, for them to launch this a couple of weeks later, it was in the works for months. I mean, that's just how corporations work. Like, they didn't invent that the next day. Like, that was probably like 6 or 9 or a year in advance. Like, that's frustrating.
Yeah. Do you know that part about... Never mind. I just lost it. Dang it. Okay. Oh, sorry. Things are okay. I didn't see the fun thing.
So a couple things. I think at some point last year, I want to say we did have like a meeting with some WMATA staff in their sort of technology data department. I don't remember what that was called, and developers.
Target. Yeah.
Kind of talk about the changes that they were rolling out to their APIs in terms of like real-time train and bus location data. So, because I know there, you know, the PVP had previously raised concerns about like, you know, not only transparency, but also just like, you know, dealing with issues with their data, bugs, you know, that are reported by developers. So we kind of got involved on that front to try to improve that line of communication. So it may be, I can look and see who it was we met with. But, so this was back when they had yet to roll out their updated API streams that now have more real-time, like, bus and train location data.
So was any of this having to do with, because I know at AAC we dealt with a lot of data that dealt with bus stops in general. So that's not the same person.
I don't know.
A gentleman that we had in our area, his name was Ed Wells. I don't think it's probably the same person that came here.
I don't think so.
Okay.
So anyways, it may be worth, you know, trying to sort of reconnect with that office, because I imagine that they're the ones who, you know, would be best position to kind of speak to these issues. The other is that, you know, while it was in the general manager's plan to kind of develop an official WMATA app. Mm-hmm. As we've stated, you know, every time we've asked them about that, they've basically said, no, we're not really, we don't have that in the works. Yeah. And I wouldn't say that what they've recently rolled out is anything like an app so much as a poorly designed web page. But I mean, I think it does, you know, warrant going back to them and saying, you know, has that priority shifted? Is WMATA now prioritizing the development of an official WMATA app? Because you know that may give some additional insight into the dynamics at play with the API restrictions and developers now. But I think, and then the third thing to consider is sort of. Potentially the legality of some of these changes. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, WMATA is a public agency.
It's
publicly funded. Okay. And so while they're not exactly restricting access to that mm-hmm. data, they are placing potentially, you know, an unreasonable burden on those who are seeking to utilize data that they've previously made available with fewer restrictions.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't know. It may be worth looking into to sort of, and also just to ask them sort of what is your objective in implementing these restrictions.
Exactly. Like that was a question I was going to ask, like about WMATA, and I never fully really understand. I knew they were public, but are they or quasi? I hear so many things about what as an organization, like what are they considered public? Are they? Or what's in the compact? I don't know. Like, they're not a government agency, but they're not.
They looked into the legality of it. So,
maybe, yeah.
I mean, as the consumer of the information,
yeah.
And if I saw something like that, I'd be like, wait, what?
I mean,
right.
Currently,
I mean,
they,
like
I mean,
yeah.
they haven't actually charged any fees yet,
yeah.
But like, they reserve that right in the future.
But
yeah.
I think it is.
I guess they
right
now
to,
reserve the right to
yeah.
create their own, yeah.
So I guess, I mean, you know, perhaps before, you know, getting to, you know, a state of litigiousness, it may be worth, like, asking some targeted questions to better understand
she's
their
in
motives.
The system. Yeah.
You know, what is it that you're hoping to accomplish? What are your, what concerns were you trying to address? Did you find that developers were misrepresenting you know, WMATA data in a way that necessitated these policy changes.
Yeah, I have tons of questions. Yeah.
Yeah. So I. Yeah. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's more like. But yeah. So if anything, like I'll send a Google Doc so that you guys could put in any questions that you might have in response to the email I sent yesterday or whatever. But just. In terms of the original question about how we should do this, should it be a memo, or is that too boring? Is there another way we could do this? Or what do you guys suggest? A memo? Okay, memo is good. Okay. Yeah, yeah. So you guys could prepare, yeah. And honestly, yeah, I think we're not trying to do this to make, even though we are pushing, hey, WMATA, like open data, access, transparency, communication, engagement, co-creation, all of this is very important and meaningful, like, to me personally, but, like, to the RAC. So we're not trying to make anyone look good or bad or anything. We just want, you know, like, so we're going to give you guys adequate time to, before releasing anything public or a memo or anything, give you advanced time so you guys will prepare, you know, the messaging and everything that you guys need to do so that we could all look good. Yeah. But yeah, because I feel like exactly because since in their shift, I think they would want to be seen as more open and engaging and caring more about customers and communicating with Rose Riders. But Paul, sorry, you've been waiting for a while. So, yeah. Yes.
Joy, is there? I don't want to. Yeah, there's been. No. If you're allowed to say anything, that'd be great. There's been a lot of speculation as to whether Metro was creating an app. Are you, I don't know. Has anything come up, or is there anything in development, or you don't know right now?
Care to comment?
No, I am totally not apprised of anything that's in it.
Okay.
But that just means.
I mean,
cryptic there. Unpack that.
He's like, oh yeah, we got some coming out next week. You know, be nice, you know. That, I mean.
Yeah, for sure. Ask him. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe Joe, we can create some of those questions. You do Google Docs. I'm not a Google Doc person, but you know.
Yeah, or I can just do it. Let's do an email chain.
Yeah.
Or not. Yeah.
Like I can email you my question. You know.
Or email chain might be too disruptive.
That we've already discussed in our last meeting.
Yeah. Sure.
You know, just hit them and say, just like what Catherine said, that you know, Metro is not a tech company. And you know, if budgets are really, really tight, so, I don't know why, how you got the money to hire all these web developers to be able to create an app. I mean, that's...
Like, I'm not opposed to I agree
to,
with
you.
Know, you. I mean,
stocks, you know,
I'm not opposed to that, but, like, definitely, even if they were to develop their own app, as Issa and others have mentioned, they should still make it free for people to use, like, this data.
I can't speak for Almada General Counsel, but... this happens a lot in these organizations, as everyone knows, where people just like write a bunch of legalese to justify their job. So this might not be the worst possible thing to happen, and maybe just someone's just saying, we reserve all the rights to do blah, blah, blah. You know, it's not, it may just be much ado about nothing. Just them
no, don't reserve that right.
Yeah, exactly, same thing. And as for charging a fee, they can charge a reasonable fee for providing the information to whoever wants to create the particular app, because Cranial's APIs is not free, so
that's proportional to like the actual burden.
It can be proportional, right? I mean, they can't, and there is such thing as proprietary and confidential information.
But which is why it's so odd that they're asking developers to hand over all of that proprietary information and data about their users and about their apps.
That is concerning to me.
So
that's definitely
square.
We can talk about, and for our, when you submit the questions to Joy, that like why do they have to turn over everything? Why do they have to turn over everything to you guys? And you guys don't reciprocate,
That's true.
But I'm not a tech person. I'm just
And then these posts from Metro Hero will be the basic, like sort of the starting point, and then
let me just say quickly, one of the requirements, or I don't care who's building the app, but certainly if WMATA is building an app, one of their requirements is accessibility.
Exactly.
There are certain technical standards that they say they meet on Section 508, or whether you call it WCAG, or whatever you want to, however you want to phrase it, but you're not going to be able to just put an app out. Well, they shouldn't, at least, put an app out that at least doesn't meet those accessibility standards. They would probably need to go through the Office of ADA programs, because they have at least a limited, with David Schaefer, a limited amount of expertise there, just because David is so swamped. But, I mean, there's a huge disability community that would interact with any kind of native app that WMATA would put out. So anything that would come through, they've done it in the past where they put out apps that aren't accessible, and they get beat up, blah, 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 blah. So we did, AAC did get a commitment on that, and that would at least give us an idea of what's going on as far as apps are concerned.
Could you dump that into our... Oh yeah.
Do you know if Metro Hero is 508 accessible?
The what?
Metro Hero or any of the other third-party apps that are out there?
I haven't looked at that one. The ones that I have used in the past are, yeah.
Okay.
You know, that actually wouldn't be a bad idea.
Yeah.
To get a list of those apps that are accessible that people use. Yeah. But you would think that there would be a process in place for QA, testing, and that whole nine yards. Yeah.
I'm sure they do. Like, I don't think they've publicized that, but I'm sure they could provide that information to us. I don't see why not. And I know, I mean, Metro Hero, they have 4.5 stars on Play out of 495 reviews. This is a good app. There are a lot of apps like this. That's really cool. Anyways.
Are there any other apps that are as popular, or is this all,
I'm sure there are a lot more, like Washington, D.C. Metro Map. There's the Hopper.
So there are others. It's not just.
I think that's the most prevalent. And we. Yeah. Like a developer guide.
Of course, that'd be an implicit endorsement of that particular app, and if I got used that app and I ended up getting stranded, you know, at some station at 3 in the morning, then that's the only, that's I know that's what Lynn would say if she were here. But you do have a good point. Maybe we can do that, I guess.
Yeah, that's exactly. And we will. Yeah, so the hackathon, instead of a hackathon, it'll be known as a rackathon. Did you guys get that from the email? So yeah, so that's that. And then Cesar already mentioned the continued advocacy on the senior citizens. Yeah, okay, great. This next one, I've listened to some of your feedback, but not all of it because the plan's still in the works. But I realized also, like I agreed with you even back then, like a month ago, that being out there in the subway stations isn't necessarily the most, you know, because we're out there and we're wasting our time sometimes, and people might not like us being out there, or whatever all of your concerns were, I was listening to. But also, but you guys were semi more receptive to people requesting the rack, or like, yeah, so making it more generalizable and doing reactivity requests. So that form that I created, a Google form, is very simple, and it's just bare bones. If you guys could provide any feedback before the next PPP meeting, which is on the 15th, because that's when hopefully we could, by the December meeting, or I don't know if you guys care if it goes live the day after a PPP meeting or anything like that. I don't know if we have to vote on stuff like this, but if not, we could vote on it December or whatever. But, yeah, but basically it's like who, what, when, where, why, and just letting riders request whatever from us, like, so that it could be very open-ended, so that we could kind of respond to their needs versus, like, kind of prescribing within guardrails. Yeah, so if you have any feedback, and also last but I swear, is Metro actually has a street team now, Metro street team, and it's based on safety and some other concerns. Like, I think it's very, very recent. So it's on their Facebook page, and so I saw it, so I'm like, we should do things with you guys, like, why not? I mean, if you guys are already out there, and they have shirts, and we should have shirts, too, or, like, yeah, it's like an M Metro shirt, but yeah, I'm like, why don't we have shirts right now? I mean, we deserve them, but yeah, so, anyways. Yeah. Yes. You do know. Yeah. Yeah. Like, or we could buy him too. It's red, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think on a general note about at least safety outreach, like there's been a couple things, whether it be bike safety or this, and we raised it in our memo. Obviously, it's not going through yet, but if we can always reemphasize this point. Yeah. And I mean, I also think there is a difference talking to riders with Metro employees also standing next to you. So it would be nice, I think, to build a relationship with the Metro employee, maybe not as much with riders, depending on how forthcoming
they would want to be in that situation as well. So
yeah.
Just a note on that. And it would be nice. So I recently got rid of my Facebook. And so as a writer, I didn't even know like this was going on.
Hmm.
I didn't see a press release about it come through on my email. Or any other outreach. So it's kind of interesting. Maybe it's a pilot program that they're like testing out small, but
exactly.
Trying to figure out if that is growing. I'm assuming it's going to be more than just safety. So
yeah.
If you're already asking about it, ask away and just let the safety committee
know. Of course.
Know.
Oh, sorry. What posted? Oh, it already happened. Yes. I believe
last weekend they were set up at
yeah.
FedEx Field for what, I'm not sure.
Yeah. And so another reason why I postponed or kind of also your feedback from last month, but for the rack rallies or whatever it's being called, is also so that we could kind of soft launch or kind of do something with them and then kind of get in the hang of things so that we have a better idea of how, what it will take to be effective in this type of, you know, engagement vehicle for the future when we do our own thing. So just to collaborate in the beginning and then steal their ideas so that we could do it better. Yeah.
So I like the idea of figuring out ways to engage with writers.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, as we've seen, you know, expecting them to show up to our meetings probably isn't the best way to do that. That being said, I do have some concerns about I think conflating the RAC with WMATA.
And so
you know, which could be problematic if we're like out there with them.
That is so annoying.
And
that's
I think,
like number one.
You know, if you look at the messages that we have come in on the Facebook,
yeah, they think we're the WMATA RAC.
Every
yeah.
single one basically
yeah.
is someone thinking that the RAC is actually Metro and they're, you know, issuing a complaint. So, I mean, one thing we might want to do is just, like, have, like, a pinned post on our social media that says, like, you know,
we are not
advisory council is not Metro. We
yeah.
are, you know, just to make it very
clear. There is, like, an overall things that we are the Writers Advisory Council, composed of writers,
uh-huh.
like, to advise Metro on Metro Active, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I know, they're not reading. They don't read. No one reads. No one reads anymore, right? Yeah, I know. But like, so is it because it's we're like on it's facebook.com/WMATARAC? There's nothing wrong with that WMATA part, right? Because for Twitter, we're gonna launch that soon. We already have the handle WMATARAC, but like yeah, like.
So I mean, just a consideration moving forward is to think about ways that we can distinguish ourselves so that confusion is less frequent. No, we don't. Because it's not working for us because all we're getting are complaints from writers thinking that we're WMATA.
I know that. But
so
also they share us like their. It's also like they wouldn't go to. Well, they might.
Unfortunately, most of the concerns that they express are not things that we're able to like address for them.
But it's good for us to hear. Well, I agree. I agree. I'm the one that responds to most of these, so I totally understand. And the reviews that kills me because they rate us one star, and I'm like. We are not the WMATA, okay, or WMATA, or whatever you think we are. And so I had to report those, and I got it back up to 4.3, so yeah.
Okay. So. It was like 3.5 or 3.2. I was like, I put so much work into this. Damn you. He said, no.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Thank
you. That's going to be the minutes. Just
educate yourself about who we are. No, I wanted.
What does the rating ultimately mean?
Yeah. I was even gonna creep up.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, if you're a WMATA staff person, now all of a sudden you've been told by your supervisor that you're going to be standing with a Writers Advisory Council. You've
right.
probably never heard of it before, and you're like, who are these people? You know, so, like, there's a lot of different it sounds a lot simpler in idea rather than implementation. I see this a lot, actually, on – well, not a lot, but on the exercises, because WMATA staff participate as volunteers for the day in that. And if you introduce yourself and you're like, oh, I'm from the Writers Advisory Council, they're like, what? Like, what is
yeah.
that? And then, you know, so it's kind of, there's a lot of different facets of this.
Yeah, you know, Colin, sorry, you bring up great points. This, like, a year ago, like, I was really into this, but not so much because I didn't really have the skills, but also because no one else was interested. Like, the brand book and, like, who we are as an entity, like, what kind of brand are we of the rack? Like, are we fun? Are we personable? Are we serious? Well, whatever. But, like, in terms of getting our logo, it's a really sad, old, outdated logo. And it's great for the 90s. It was great. But now it's, you know, we want to make it greater. So how do we make Omada Rack great again, like, in terms of, like, the logo? I mean, the logo. No, the logo. Because, like, I feel like it's kind of, it's still, like, 200 by 200 pixels. It's not big enough. We can't really make it. We can't expand it. Or I'm wondering, are you guys open for PPP? Because we have nothing else to do. Can we design a new logo or have a competition? Honestly, my dream, or not dream, but one of the things that I would want more of, obviously, is co-creation with writers. And some of the things that I included in my application when I was, like, having more, like, case competitions with business schools or, like, you know, different poetry contests for elementary or secondary schools. You know, just getting more engagement from writers and the public. Can we do more of those types of things? Can we do that? Yeah? Yeah, like, and specifically, like, even with a lot of the design schools that are nearby, can they design our logo so that it's consistent with the stylistic guides of Metro so that, you know, we're not purple and they're black? I don't know. Like, can we make it consistent? Is it okay if we do, like, a contest or something like that? And who should we? Are there any, is there, like, a framework or, like, who should we contact to, like, kind of get more thoughts around this? That's true. Okay, so guidelines. If you guys have any thoughts on what types of things we should do, but I'm thinking that or not. Are you guys open to that? A potential redesign of our logo or refresh or not? You're not open to it? Okay. Okay. So what are the contests? What should be a contest on? Like, the Rackathon is something that will happen eventually, but, like, maybe we should table, I don't know. Yeah.
I think from a PR standpoint, our primary goal should be demonstrating our value to
of course, people. I know, yeah.
And I'm not sure that we're doing that, like, as a collective. This is not a criticism of you. Or
oh, no, no, I agree, I agree.
But I
know.
I think that is something that we should.
I just got really excited. Yeah, I got really excited right now.
And, you know, and then if we've got, you know, time for contests, sure.
Yeah, but, like, in terms of maybe not internal, like, rack-focused things, but more like, you know, how can we help the rack? What we're here for. So, yeah.
I think if we are going to have some sort of contest, it should be focused on, you know, the rack.
Yeah, I know. Okay, I got that, guys. Which is? Okay. GGW. Yeah, I got some stickers on the ground. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, of course. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Would this be an internal calendar or something that is available for us to see?
Internal. Okay.
Ways to kind of
just
not something that's really capital intensive to go to something that someone's already doing. You know, just show up and say we're with the writers. Let us know and give us some contact info or whatnot. So.
Okay, so I'm
going
to.
I
was just trying to.
Who, us?
Yeah, like,
oh, okay, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The only thing is they're not as interested. Like, we know how valuable these resources are, but convincing... Well, so I've invited Waba and other... So the thing is, it's not, I may have started the social media, like, but it's on all of us. So if you guys want to do it, please. Because, like, I stay very conservative. And I've only, like, posted news that Wilmot came straight from official sources or thanked Malcolm for being here or any board members for being here. I haven't even posted the photos of, like, us because I was afraid you guys would not be, some people would be opposed because some people were. So I was just like, yeah, so I was very careful, especially because it was just beginning. I was afraid people would be opposed to it and we would have to shut this down or whatever. I was very, like, conservative. Now that it seems like more people are saying, yeah, we should post original tweets or posts or whatever or post pictures, I'm just wondering what my parameters are, and I wanted to be as conservative and as careful in ensuring that I'm maintaining trust and reliability. And, yeah, not breaking barriers and getting in trouble because... then that's not good, and then it all dies because there's a lot of criticism. But it seems like people are, yeah, it's we're past that phase now, so you guys can see more of that. But I would highly recommend that everyone, like volunteer to, I think so far it's Sitsa, Colin, and Paul, and, like, we're, like, editors on, like, the page, but, like, everyone should be, and then you guys could respond to these, you know, writer request, like, all of these things too. And we're going to need you guys too. So if you guys can, yeah, commit before the end of this year to becoming an editor at least, so that you could at least see what's in our inbox so that you guys could respond to some of these things as well. And especially since we're going to do reactivity requests, you know, we're going to need to be more engaged with writers too, potentially. And not we don't have to accept every request, but we will have to reply to everyone, even though they get an auto response. Yeah, so, like, to the extent that we can all, like, pitch it, like, but I agree with you. Like, I would definitely be a lot more, yeah, thoughtful. But especially, like, taking pictures of whenever Paul Wiedefeld's here or when Lynn Bauer talks or, yeah, whenever something's happening. Like, the safety committee, when we're doing the safety exercises, like, that would be great. I do actually have pictures of that and video with Barb. So we could post that if she wants to, but I know, I see, almost say the same thing. Yeah. So I agree with you. Thanks.
Any final words?
Damn.
Wait, well, I didn't hear that.
Joy.
What happened?
Joy.
All right, with that, I will call this meeting adjourned.
So, Joe, I think this was our PPP meeting for the month.
Has
nothing more to say.
Can we not do that? Okay, I'll send that email around.
I think I'm
waiver.
With a waiver.
Yeah, but I definitely want to go.